Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Communication Connection, a show designed to help you change your life on so many levels and to empower you to improve your relationships through effective communication. It's Wednesday, July 6, 2011, and I'm your host, Jill Robinson, coming to you live from Dundas, Ontario, Canada. The topic of our show today is How Anger Makes Me Happy with our guest, Tom Wright. Tom Wright overcame tremendous odds growing up in a life-threatening environment overrun by racial-charged violence in the 1960s. He now looks upon these early influences as the crucible that forced his will to continually rise above his circumstances and to overcome all obstacles he encountered through the course of his journey in search of a better life. A student of ancient Toltec wisdom, Ernest Holmes' work, and the martial arts, Mr. Wright is a respected science of mind licensed practitioner and seventh degree black belt. Before creating the One Penny Millionaire Transformational Seminar, he enjoyed a long and distinguished career as a practical personal growth trainer, professional communicator, and writer. Early in his career, Tom Wright was a professor of English, and he served as a communications aide to two U.S. presidents. For the latter, he was awarded a Presidential Service Citation. Excuse me. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, it's good to have you here. I'm choking here. Sorry, folks.
Are you okay?
I think so. This is not good. Okay. So before we get started with our questions, I want to share with my listeners our calling number. What's that, Tom?
That was one of the impressive times when a host got choked up about reading my bio. I'm really moved.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I got choked up from the bio. So true. The number to call in, folks, is 1-856-2139. We got a great show ahead of us, as long as I can keep talking. Tom, talk to us about what exactly a breakthrough is all about.
A breakthrough is simply taking a person where they're at, exactly where they're at, and leading them through the obstacles and barriers to going to where they want to be. And where they want to be could be whatever the individual client's choice is. It could be a breakthrough in how much money they make. It could be a breakthrough in the depth and quality of their relationships. And it could be a breakthrough in personal satisfaction and fulfillment with the work they do in the world. So a breakthrough gets you through the stuff between you and experiencing what you really want to experience, regardless of what that is. So it's a very simple, straight-line thing with many turns and twists, of course, because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
And being a breakthrough expert, I've had over 15,000 hours of training in breakthrough work and application in prisons, on death row, working at the White House, in communications, and with your average Joe as well. So breakthrough always works when the person who wants the breakthrough is willing to do whatever it takes to get that.
So the whole point is they have to be ready to do it, obviously.
They have to
right?
be willing. Never ready. Yeah, willing. Mm. Willing is the key word. I never ask somebody if they're ready or not, because the question will always come up, oh, I'm not really ready. But no, none of us are ready. I'm not ready for anything, but I'm willing.
Yep. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. So as long as you're willing, then you can work through the breakthrough.
Oh, absolutely.
So what areas can people who... Oh, yeah, there's a willingness to move through it for sure. And so what areas can people who follow your consulting expect to have a breakthrough in, for example?
Well, I can give examples of areas. A lot of times a radio show host will ask for me to do a little breakthrough work with them, like a demonstration. And a while ago, I don't know if you know who Sue Lundin is. I think she's in Canada. Can't remember. I do a lot of shows everywhere. But
she's actually a really good friend of mine.
Oh, is she? Okay, she asked for a little coaching, and immediately she got the offer for a TV show. Closed some details on a book deal, and she got a living room full of furniture, three things she wanted to have a breakthrough on. So, I mean, I was surprised at the amount of breakthrough that occurred for her, but obviously she was very willing to receive. So, and it didn't take much work with her at all.
Yeah, I remember that. You know, she kind of went through that period, and yeah, you're right. She just was ready and willing.
Ready.
And you know, with your help, I mean, absolutely. She manifested a lot of really good things in her life. So.
Absolutely, yeah. And all levered, or the function there was her willingness. That's what the key ingredient was, because I can present this breakthrough work to somebody who is unwilling, and I can guarantee you it won't work. But if you're willing, just look into your life, see, am I willing? And the interesting thing is, it's more important for somebody to do what I call tell the truth now, tell the truth later, or just live your life in the truth. If at some point you're not willing to have a breakthrough, then just say so. And what that does is it opens you up to the next possibility, which is to, in fact, have a breakthrough. So whether you're willing or not doesn't even matter. The only thing that really matters is you tell the truth about it, because I've started with people who are totally unwilling to have a breakthrough, and that's great. Work with them, or I work with them where they're at.
Right. Right, and that's important
and
in the whole process. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure. And being honest about it. So then what's the most important part of the breakthrough work then, Tom? Like, what's the most important part from your perspective?
The whole process is the most important part, but there's two key things in breakthrough work and success work that I found with people that they have that are kind of really key. And the one key thing, or two of the key things, is one, what your definition of success is. See, unless you have a clear definition of success beforehand, then whatever success you achieve after a breakthrough is not going to be as satisfying or fulfilling. So what you do is you have to sit down and you say, look, if I make this amount of money, if I have this breakthrough in intimacy and relationship with this particular person, if I'm able to get this job or do this task, that will be a signal to me that I have succeeded and I am a success, and I will then give myself permission on purpose and deliberately to bask or enjoy that fulfillment and success. And most people keep on trying to achieve success without setting what I call conditions of satisfaction. And they're always unhappy with whatever successes they do have. And Lord knows I've done this myself. And what you end up with is an experience of no success. So right from the beginning, you have to personally define what your success is going to be. And once defined, when you attain it, then allow yourself the satisfaction of acknowledging yourself and enjoying that success.
Well, and, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, Tom, I'm thinking to myself, it's just like what they talk about with goal setting. You know, you can't sit in the harbor and be in your boat and not know, have a plan of where you're going. And I think that what you just said is kind of an example of that, you know, like as far as success and where you're moving. So it's key. It's key for sure.
Well, see, the problem I've seen with most people is that they have, not only do they have this definition of success, but not having it, they have this vague notion that other people are successful and they're not, and so they feel so bad about themselves. And yet, you know, a success for everybody is not necessarily to make $1 million. Success for another person could be to be a person who makes a difference in their community by working at the a place where they feed people at the Manna Food Bank or something like that.
Absolutely. Everybody's definition of success is different, like you said.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not everybody wants to be Donald Trump. I know I don't want to be.
No, me either.
I suspect
and I'll say
more
any more than that. I'm live on the air, so I'll go no further.
Right.
You often speak, Tom, about alignment. Talk about why this is so important and explain a little bit about that, because I know you did talk about that, and I'm interested to know more, and I want my listeners to understand that as well.
Okay, alignment is part of what the achievement process is all about, and it relates to how anger makes me happy. And if you think about alignment means to take everything on the playing field and point it and its energy in the same direction so that everything's pulling in the same direction like a train, all the cars going in the same direction and the engine so it goes more smoothly along the tracks you've set for it, which would be your plan. So as far as your life goes, if you look into the whole field that you're playing on, you look, well, there's a lot of emotions out there. There's a lot of feelings. There's a lot of thoughts. There's a lot of actions. There's a lot of reactions. There's a lot of circumstances. And you have to look at every one of those and, as best you can, align as many of them as you personally can in the direction you want everything to head in. And one of the things that supports people in this alignment more than anything else is called having a context for the living of your life or a life purpose. And if you go to the website, which is at the One Penny Millionaire, you can download something called The Plan for free, which is which are the three things that every successful person has ever done in order to accomplish things in their life. And this big first one is setting a context for the things that happen in your life. Because once you have that context, it's like a bowl. Everything, all the crazy stuff that happens, you can throw in that bowl, and yet that bowl can still be going in one direction, even though all this crazy stuff is happening. You can utilize all the energy of your life to accomplish things. And that's the point of having a life purpose. So you can get that plan for free.
Wow, on your website. Tell us what your website is right now, so people are listening, they can check it out while we're talking.
It's the onepennymillionaire.com. Just spell the three words out.
Yep.
Right, and just go to the top and get your free plan, and it's the three things every successful person has ever done, regardless of their field, in order to be successful. And it's the beginning.
The beginning step.
And something that you may need to change and reformulate over time, so it's always a good time to look at what your plan is.
Mm-hmm. And maybe just by doing that, the plan that you're speaking of sort of gets, like you were talking about just a few minutes ago, about the alignment part, get you aligning the train on the track, so you said, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was looking at my life a month and a half ago, even last week, and I was looking at all the crazy things that have happened over the last 6 months, and I realized in spite of all these things that looked like they were off purpose, because I had a plan, because I had a context to hold my whole life within, what the universe was showing was, oh, not that, not that, not that, don't do that, don't do that, and then gently saying, do this. And when I just surrendered to that and realized that everything was still being held within the context of my plan, which my plan is to share my writing with as many human beings as possible in a way that shifts their energy into a realization of infinite possibilities. So I really want to make a difference with my writing in people's lives. Well, I was being shown all the ways not to do it, and then when I got to a point and realized that, oh, that gentle voice was telling me how to do it and surrendered to it and started doing that, things went along a lot more smoothly. But everything was still being held within the context of that plan because I stated what my life purpose or plan was.
Right from the get-go, like what you were saying earlier.
Right from
the
get-go. Right?
Yep.
And if you don't state what your plan is, the universe will provide you one and you won't be happy with it because there's so many other influential energies in and around our society. You don't want anybody else's plan for your life. You want yours for your life.
Exactly. And so tell us, okay, so what I'm thinking in my head here is, what is the one key element in planning a life strategy that people need to focus on? Like, if there was one key element, what would you say that would be?
Absolutely, it's that context, because a thousand things will happen that don't look like what needs to happen in order for your plan to work out. When you have a context for your life, what you do is, it's like a bowl. You throw all those crazy circumstances and events in that bowl and realize, look, it's in the plan. It's happening, maybe not in the way I expected, and it won't. Not in the way I wanted to, and it won't. Not in the way I thought it would, and it won't. But it's still happening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing in my plan has worked out as in exactly the same way as I thought it would have worked out. It's doing it much different than I thought it would, but that doesn't mean it's not going along to fulfill my original life purpose. It is, and I can see that very clearly now.
Ours is not
to tell the universe how things should happen. Ours is to request to the universe what you want to have happen eventually, and then the universe will tell you, okay, look, this is the way it's going to be in order to have that happen. And like it or not, that's the way it is.
Yeah. Okay, so then I know that you have a unique definition of success, and what would you explain your take on it? Tell us about that.
Very simple. Success isn't what comes to you or the things you accumulate, whatever they are. It's what comes out of you. And it's like being in relationships successfully. One of the easiest ways to be in a successful relationship is to simply be nice to the other person you're interacting with. That's it. Nothing more complicated or fancy than that. You don't have to figure anything out. Just be nice to them.
Yep.
Success is the same way. It's not what comes to you. It's what comes out of you. It's how I'm being in this moment, every moment of my life. And I learned that from my kids because I realized at certain times that being a single parent, I had absolute power over them. I could be any way I wanted, and they couldn't do anything about it. And that's when I realized, well, if I'm not nice to them and loving in this moment when I have this absolute power and there's nobody around to see it, then there's no point in doing all this consulting work that I do, because it would be meaningless if I can't apply it right now in this moment with my son and daughter when they're 3 or 4 years old and, you know, they're at my mercy,
right.
Literally.
Yeah, well, so yeah, I understand.
I was able to do that.
T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes total sense.
I hope so. It does. And I want to mention something very specific with regard to the statement I made about like it or not. A lot of the circumstances that come up for us in our lives, in my life, I don't necessarily like them. You know, they're not ones that I would have said, I'm going to throw this in my way. However, they are great teaching tools for giving up on being impatient or angry or frustrated. They're really great for that purpose, and that's exactly what I needed at the time.
Right.
Invariably.
Right. Yeah, for sure. At the timing, everything being in the moment, the timing was right, is what you're saying. Yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then, Tom, you often speak of the mind-body connection and how the work you do directly relates to this. Why is this connection so important?
Well, I think it's the only connection that's really important, because when we are disconnected from the mind and body connection or our experience of it, then we do all sorts of wacky things that are not good for ourselves. I mean, people drink heavily because they're not connected to their own bodies that say, oh, my God, this is enough. Ugh, I don't want any more of this. But their minds force them to keep on drinking. It's as simple as that. And, you know, it's not necessarily a life-affirming action. Same with a thousand other details of our lives. When we're not connected mind and body, then we do bizarre things to be self-sabotaging and are really self-destructive. And having thousands of hours of breakthrough work and working with the mind, and then being born as somebody who could see energy directly in people's bodies, which is why I have the second website, A Course in Shamanism, I realized how important and it was to have the mind-body connection, because I've worked with so many clients who, they want all these lofty goals in their heads, but they're not connected to their body's reaction to the achievement or the willingness to have these goals. And until you can feel what it feels like inside of your body for real, you know, where you're living at, like the resistance to having that goal work out, for instance, that exists in your body, until you work with that energy first, all this efforting and money and time and effort spent on achieving the goal will be energy that is less valuably spent. It won't be as effective until you connect with what your body or your really and your feelings you really want, and then move forward with the things that entice your mind, like money, fame, fortune, achievement, and stuff like that. You got to be connected to the body first.
Which makes so much sense. And I'm thinking to myself as you're saying that, is that we've talked about before, you know, how this world can get so crazy. So in sort of a segue to this question, how can people center themselves more? I'm really interested to know what your suggestion on that is. Especially, I didn't know about this, A Course in Shamanism. I'd love to talk to you later about that, because I didn't realize you had done that work. So I'm very interested in that. So how can people center themselves more then, Tom?
Well, yeah. My suggestion to people is this. If you really think about it, what is the one thing that we have that we cannot live without? We cannot live without the earth. If we didn't have the earth, there'd be no place to stand. We'd have nothing to eat. We'd have no water, nothing. We would not exist without the earth. So the most powerful place to center ourselves is in the earth or on the earth. People don't go for walks in their bare feet. People don't lay down on their backs on the earth and allow the earth to take their frustrations and negative energies away from them. You need to be connected to the earth first, and that will support you more than anything, even more than meditation. That will support you in being grounded, because it's the ground. And in being grounded, you're more centered, and the crazy, busy, opinionated thoughts that swirl you off purpose won't occur as much. So the first thing is called centering yourself by being on the earth. Spend some time on the earth every week, at least once a week. And then that's the body connection. The mind connection, I would invite people to do something I call how to quiet the mind. And it's called the senses process. And that's on YouTube. I have it on YouTube under Tom Wright, the One Penny Millionaire. It's called the senses process. And it's using your senses of touch, taste, smell, hearing, and seeing, the five senses, and using that repetition and process just before you go to bed to quiet the mind, and it works more effective than 6 hours of meditation just doing 10 minutes of it. Because what I found is if you are totally, like you ever walk into a kitchen and there's bread baking, you notice mm-hmm. how all your other senses kind of take a back seat to the sense of smell?
Yep.
Well, mm-hmm. same thing happens in the senses process. If you work with the senses one at a time with the five senses, all your thoughts and all the crazy stuff takes a back seat, and you're just focusing on one sense at a time as you go through all five in the process as it's suggested, and it's completely outlined in the video. And then what happens is your mind quiets. Well, you get a taste of quiet mind, you want more. And
so this is on YouTube?
More means more. Absolutely. It's
and
on YouTube.
Senses,
it's how to quiet.
S-E-N-S-E-S process?
Right. The name of the video is How to Quiet the Mind by Tom Wright.
Okay,
How
to Quiet the Mind.
That's what
I'm writing. I'm writing this down because there's a few people I'm thinking about that may not be listening that I'll encourage to listen to the show later on the archives because this is really good stuff. A lot of my clients, we talk about getting centered, and I love your idea about connecting with the earth and that. That's it makes sense, like you said, being grounded.
Right.
We're on the ground. It makes total sense. So,
well, what do
so,
we
yeah,
have other than the earth?
I know.
No,
so
we
true.
Have, that's it. That's all we got. So that's our grounding. And in How to Quiet the Mind, using the senses process, it brings you to a place where it's much easier to make that mind-body connection, because once you're grounded and then once your mind is quiet, then you can begin to make that connection. And you know, if you think about it, I always thought that mind-body connection and centeredness would come with this huge fanfare and boom, boom, you know, like very dramatic, but it's not. It's actually the opposite, and that's what fools people into believing that they're not grounded or centered, because it comes with such little fanfare. It's just now. It's just
yeah.
there.
Right now. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So then I know you have a unique vision on wanting and its connection to our success. Can you just elaborate on that, Tom?
Sure. There's a big distinction between wanting and commitment. And it's a distinction that most people don't make, and that's what really sends them off purpose to aligning their energies toward the fulfillment of any particular goal they have. They say that they want something, and I know that that's true. They want something, and that's really great, and wanting things is one domain. But the second domain is being committed to having, which is profoundly different from wanting something. And when you're committed to having, you're willing to do whatever it takes in the giving and keeping of your word in order to fulfill that or have that work out. And most people who I've worked with in consulting have not been trained to make this distinction. And what happens is when the words "I want" come out of their mouth, they stop there and don't really examine the degree to which they're actually committed to having something. And there's a big difference between wanting something and being committed to having something.
Hmm. That makes complete sense to me. I know you have a book, actually, called One, and you go over three oneness connections of issue, desire, and purpose. I would love it if you could just expand upon these, the big three, as you call them, for our listeners, please.
Well, the one thing I'd like to expand on is the basic premise of One, which is that what I've discovered is there are three characteristics of humans. After working with over 50,000 people and over 15,000 hours in breakthrough work, whether it was, and I've worked with billionaires, I've worked with death row inmates on death row in Texas and California and Connecticut and Massachusetts, and I've worked with your average Joe and everybody in between, and children, in my own children's school. So after all this practice and work, I realized, you know, it's really interesting. People only have one issue and one issue alone. They only have one issue, and that really astounded me. And out of this one issue flows every manner of sabotage, misalignment, and misperception you could possibly perceive. And that one issue is self-worthiness. And that's when I realized that unless people, you and I, all of us, begin with the self-worthiness issue, then nothing's going anywhere. And I like to get to the core of everything with all the work that I do, the basic bottom molecular atom-level core. And that atom-level core for human beings is the issue of self-worthiness. So how do you work on that one issue of self-worthiness? Well, in the book, one of the other books that I've written, Be Bad, Do Good, How to Get What You Want in Spite of Yourself, there's a process at the end of that book called the loving process. And this loving process is specifically designed to increase your experience of your already existing self-worthiness. Because the silly part of all of this is there's nobody out there who isn't worthy. There's nobody out there who is not self-worthy. It's inherent in our being here in the first place. But we all have tremendous blocks to the experience of that self-worthiness. And that block could manifest itself as not making as much money as I should be making. God knows I have that one myself. You know, or not being in as deep relationships with people around us who we love as we'd like to be. But once you begin to work on that self-worthiness issue, life changes. And issue by issue, things begin to dissolve and disappear. And we have so many issues. I don't know anybody who's dissolved all of theirs, but I know I've worked on a few thousand of mine, and I have a few thousand more to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Not one person can say that you know, they've not been there, for sure. So I'm just thinking about that, you know, there's so many gurus and thought leaders out there. How does a person select a life path that is really, as you say, right for them, when you were talking earlier in the show?
Yeah, right for them, right for you is very important. You have to really sit down and make that mind-body connection by centering on the earth, formulating the plan, quieting the mind, and then decide what your life purpose is going to be, and then stick with it until it changes for you, because it might change. But it's those words really resonate with me on my own life purpose, you know, to share my writing. That resonates with me. And to make a difference in people's realization of infinite potential. That resonates with me. And for me, that will never change, because I spent a long time working on that particular one. So you have to, when you're connected with your feelings and you really know how you really feel, the question of how do you do that doesn't even come up anymore. It's like, yeah, I know how to do that. I connect with my feelings, and how do I really feel about this? And then you know. Mm-hmm. And in this society, most people, and I mean most people, are not connected to their feelings, so they're always asking the questions, what's right for me? What's right for me? Well, you know what? You do know. And when you make that mind-body connection and settle down into being centeredness and quiet the mind and then make your plan, you'll know.
That's right. It's about going, you know, listening to you, thinking to myself, it's like going within. It's about going within and listening at a higher level. I talk about that a lot when I do my my own work. And yeah, it's powerful stuff. But as you said earlier, a lot of people are not connected, body and mind, and gets them in a lot of trouble, for sure.
Well, the problem is we've been so conditioned to listen to the fanfare in our TV and advertisements and movies and books and everything. It's got to be big and bright and loud, or else we won't pay attention to it. And guess what? Going in is not big and bright and loud. It's just enormously powerful and useful and life-affirming. But there's no fanfare. You know. And then so people ignore it, and they're stuck in the going toward more fanfare. And, you know, it's like a drug. You need more.
Yeah.
To get the same kick, and it's a kick that leads nowhere.
Yeah. No, I can't believe it, Tom. We've only got 90 seconds left in the show, so I that just whipped by. Gosh, I'm going to have you come back, and we'll do another show. But tell everybody quickly what your website information is, Tom, and definitely I'll have you come back again.
Okay. Well, they would find The One Penny Millionaire or A Course in Shamanism, which is about the body connection energy work or healing work, both of them to be very useful. And my recommendation is download the plan. It's free. Use it. And then if you want to know about your power of intention, you can download that audio for free too, and it will inspire you to fill out the plan. So use it, use it, use it.
As Tom says, use it, guys. His work is amazing. Check out his website. Check out the free plan that he talked about. And thank you so much, Tom. I've really enjoyed having you on my show. I can't believe we're almost out of time. Next week, I will be enjoying Ontario, Canada's cottage country for a little break, so there will not be a show next week. But for July 20th, my guest will be the top 10 tips for happiness with my guest, Nancy Maramore. Don't forget to check out my website, which is jill-robinson.com. And that brings our show to a close for this week. Thank you so much. Tom, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you have a great 2 weeks. Talk to you then. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Jill.
Thanks, Tom.
Oh, you're welcome. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. I don't know if I'll lose you when I do.